Hello, you've reached the Running from Diabetes hotline. To enter a race, plus one. To enter your blood sugars, press two. To gripe about being a diabetic, press three. To listen to the podcast, press four. Welcome to the Running from Diabetes podcast. This is Kevin Kilograms, and this is my audio journal of my life dealing with diabetes as I train for endurance sports. Good afternoon, Running from Diabetes. This is Kevin Kilograms. Well, today I'm not running. It's actually an off-run day today, but I figured I'd better record something since I haven't in a couple of weeks. So what I'm doing actually is one of the reasons why I haven't recorded something is unhitching my I have a travel trailer, my RV, so I'm unhitching it from the truck. We spent the week down in Carlsbad, South Carlsbad State Beach. It's actually our favorite, absolute favorite campground on the California coast. It is by far the prettiest, and that's saying a lot because California coastline has some really, really pretty beaches, and it has some okay beaches. I don't think there's any ugly ones, or at least I haven't bumped into them. Maybe there are a few off the beaten path, but it's pretty hard to screw up an ocean line or beach line. But there are campgrounds that are not as exciting, like Bolsa Chica, which is just basically a parking spot with some hookups. You have electricity and water, and then it's right off of PCH, and there's nothing other than the sand and the ocean in front of you. You don't even get a fire ring in your campsite. And there are other ones that are real beautiful, but got some quirkiness to them. One of my favorites, but not the favorite, is the San Onofre Bluffs. We usually stay at the inland one, which is quite a bit from the ocean, but it's very nice campsites. Well, these are, again, more like parking spots. The ground camping area is extremely small, but at least you get a fire pit and a table. They're right up against a train that actually train tracks that go by quite often, unfortunately. And then you still have to walk these decent trails, which is why the surfers call it trails. You have to walk these trails down to the beach, which are long and steep because they're on the cliff of bluffs, so the cliffs overlooking the ocean. But because of this, the ocean is secluded. Very few people go down there. The hardcore surfers, they want to be there because, again, very few people go down there, and it's one of the best longboard waves. If that kind of you don't understand that, I completely understand, but every beach break, every type of break, I should say, has a different wave. Each wave has a board that's it's made for it. They call them mushy waves, or rolly waves, or fat waves. Tend not to be harder to catch. They don't have a steep cliff face to them until right at the end, which could be okay, but you typically need a little bit more time than right at the end to catch a wave. And so they're perfect for boards that plane real well and glide across the water. In order to do that, you have to have a lot of buoyancy to haul a person, especially a big person like me. So big boards, or what we call long boards, typically boards over 8 feet, are the trademark of a mushy wave. They're also really wide, typically thick. The thicker they are, the shorter they can be. But most people have a that ride typically a longboard like that, typically like a very longboard, because it allows for something called walking. You know, you've probably seen people ride the nose of a board, you know, hanging 10, hanging 5, what we call statue or posing, where you get up on that nose and you hold your heads of hands above your head. And it's not the easiest thing in the world to do. By the way, I'm unhitching this thing, so I'm hauling around a pretty big hitch if I'm grunting and stuff. I'm at the, just in front of my house, we're still going to use this. I think I did this once before. Well, needless to say, I'm going off on beaches. Well, let's finish off the wave technology. The other side of that is something that's extremely thin, sharp-faced, and cliffy, you know. And those are shortboard waves. They stand up fast. They typically roll up into a thin wave that curls over. This is where you get your barrels from and that type of wave. This is a setup that's conducive to someone who can fall off a cliff and catch himself on the wave. Shortboards. Longboarders are capable of riding it, but what ends up happening is the nose of the board falls straight down and has to be lifted up, and it takes a lot of experience for someone to manage that. And so longboarders typically end up driving the nose of the board into the bottom of the wave and stalls the board, and they go flipping off of it into the ocean. It's called purling. And so shortboarders, who are the tip of the board, what we call the rocker, which is the bend of the board, have a real stiff rocker. They don't need to glide across the wave with pedal power, stroking power. They'll glide across with the gravity power of the wave, but they will they'll keep a... Hi, honey. They will not lift you out of the water, because what happens with a sharp wave like that is you basically get scooped up to about midway to the top, say two-thirds up, and you start your fall, and the gravity will shoot you down the wave. The difference there is you have to learn to stand with the board in a vertical position facing down. Again, not great for longboards, but great for shortboards. So, and there's blends of everything in between, which is why there's so, if you look into surfing, there's so many definitions of surfboards. You know, they either fall long or short, but they also fall fat and skinny. And, you know, there are wave riders that do the massive, what we call towers, giants, monsters, which are anything over about 20 feet. 20 feet seems to be a pretty decent limit. Also, that depends on the type of wave. A 20-foot fat roller is an easy wave to ride. Big, but easy wave to ride, where a 20-foot sharp wave is a monster and will tend to, you know, just requires the absolute best surfers in the world, because that'll kill you. That'll just wreck your whole day if you're not sure what the hell you're doing. But, you know, if you've seen the television shows and the movie Riding Giants, stuff like that, there are waves that, you know, range from 30 to 70 feet high or more, you know, a few even in the 100-footers. And there are a few crazy enough to ride these giants, and they have to have special boards and special techniques. So, without getting into that, but I mean, that's just the versatility of surfing. Then, let's see. So, we were down in South Carlsbad, which is a sort of a rolly wave, good for longboarders, but it actually has a sharper section to it, and so you get a lot of shortboarders, and it just seems to be a nice surfing haven. takes, you know, you have to register for a campsite a year in advance with this thing. So, you know, we were actually able, someone had reserved a spot and they weren't able to use it, and they gave it to my brother and my brother and I split it. And there were large enough campsites that we were able to put two campers on the same site. We had to move the car somewhere else, but we put two campers on the site, which, you know, they're pretty tight compared to everybody else, but, you know, my brother's family and my family really get along, you know, so we don't mind the close proximity, and being at the ocean, you know, I don't worry too much of having a camper right next to mine, because we all had some window visualage of the ocean. As a matter of fact, my bedroom on our RV literally was at the fence line, slightly over it, looking right down off the cliff into the ocean. It's beautiful. A little loud because there was a lot of ocean activity. So, and then, you know, you spend most of your day down at the beach, you know, or hanging around the fire pit, which, you know, is in the center of the campground, so it wasn't that big of a deal. I haven't recorded anything because I had a couple of things happen. I started getting sick, and, you know, sort of flu-like symptoms. My blood sugars were high, but not enough to generate the concern. I don't want to say the concern, but the thought that the flu symptoms were being generated by the high sugars. They weren't that high. These were constant flu symptoms. They were pretty deliberate. And I started going to the doctor for it, and it ended up being I started having these stomach cramps, lower abdomen cramps. I'm a colon cancer survivor, so, you know, obviously that concerns me too. So we went in, had a bunch of tests, and, you know, tests were inconclusive, and they ended up doing a colonoscopy, and that was inconclusive, and, you know, I figured it was just an infection, and they gave me some antibiotics and sent me home, and stuff didn't go away, and I was having trouble working, and I missed one of my long runs. I couldn't get myself up to it, and I finally, the pain didn't go back, and so I went back, and they said, okay, well, let's up the test, and they did a MRI and a CAT scan, and they still didn't figure out exactly what it was, but they ran into the diverticulitis, and I'm not going to go into all the specifics of it, but it looks like I had something with that, but they were like, well, I don't know if that's still the problem, and also we found a hernia, and, you know, that doesn't sound like the problem, but you're going to need to get that fixed, and, of course, go to the doctor. They keep threatening to use as a friend of mine on Twitter and Facebook, she, Sheila is her name, and she lives here in Southern California with me, and we correspond quite often, and she specifically, she called it the ostrich approach, and she says, you know, it's got its highlights, but it's not really what you want to do, and I get it, I know, so, yeah, I was saying that every time I go to the doctor, I have something else wrong with me, so if I use the ostrich approach, no one can tell me I have something wrong with me, so, that was only a threat, it wasn't real, being funny in a roundabout way, maybe some seriousness to it. I was just tired of doctors. Like I said, I got, you know, who would have thought a hernia would come into that, but we ended up, I'm unpacking the RV until my daughter calls so I can go pick her up from volleyball practice. Who'd have thought that that's... So the diverticulitis, they... I didn't specifically put me on a diet and whatnot, but needless to say, I start feeling better, and so I thought I would try for my long run, and man, oh man, I got to mile 10. I was supposed to do 14. I got to mile 10 and I was in pain. And so I had to call in the cavalry, and I had my son come down and pick me up at mile 10. And ended up, let's see, I'm going to leave the broom out because I'm going to use that. The that really kind of set me off. Well, the next week I was feeling better again. And I thought, well, okay, well, this time I might as well try it because I'm really feeling good. So out I went for, excuse the wind, out I went for my, let's see, this was a 15-miler. And it was very warm outside. And I knew I was pushing the limit, so I thought, why the heck not? Let's try it, but let's take it slow and easy. We're going to take too much time. We got all time in the world. We'll take extra walk breaks as needed and rest breaks as needed and have my cell phone and the cavalry available as needed. Ended up completing it. Now, it did take me about 40 minutes longer than what I was supposed to, but I enjoyed myself, although I was ragged and beat. It was 80 degrees at the end of the run, and I was had been pushed to my limit. But I was able to accomplish that. That's proud that I've got the heat training down too, so that's pretty cool. So I got the 15 miles in, and I look at that as a success. It's the best I'm going to be able to do. I would have to say, when I did it, I thought of it being a failure with the amount of time, but based on the heat and my health, it was a water's running. It was what it was. Oh, we gotta get these plants watered too. So I had some success with that one. With the camping, I was able to get some running in. Tomorrow we'll find out. We got another long run, see if it pushes us. So, I guess that's my my story, and I'm sticking to it. Now, this stuff is all washed, so I was able to, and we'll call it a success somewhat, some in this way. It was a successful failure, or a failure, failed success. I don't know. I'm kind of bummed at it, but it tells me how my training's going to go, my life on the training. I'm not going to be going for PRs. It's going to be just to finish. Is this staying here? No PRs for this marathon. Just to finish. It's going to be the secret to it. The mantra. Could use a bag or a box. I got, oh man, a whole bunch in here. So, yeah, you have to excuse me. I'm talking to myself as I'm unpacking, realizing that got lots of stuff to unpack. The kids are supposed to have accomplished quite a bit yesterday, but they didn't really accomplish a bunch. I got some stuff done, but not as much as I would have hoped. They did pack everything up, and what the hell? Oh, interesting. Chess pieces. Put the chessboard away. So, my life in a nutshell. Fortunately, that also also sets a point. I don't know what. Haven't had any work. you know, being in construction, you work, you get paid when you work. And not working means I don't get paid. I prep for it. I've been in the sales world for a while and owned my own company for a while and know what it's like to go through the droughts and the dry times. So we're not dying here, just a little tight. So other than that, I have had quite a bit of stress. My dad, who has been disabled for years, has they found a spot on his heart and needed to extract it, and it ended up being cancer. Not his heart, his lungs, excuse me. His lungs, and it ended up being cancer. It's a continuation of his renal cell cancer, the kidney cancer he had. So, yeah. Not wonderful news. Worse was, is, you know, he's not a healthy person to begin with. Very unhealthy person. And so when the did the surgery, complication after complication, and he was unable to, he's been unable to, crud. Yeah. Frozen vegetables all over. That's why I kept the broom out. He's been able to, or been unable to heal from the surgery, and it's cost quite a bit. You know, they keep moving him into ICU and stuff like that. And so, stress all the way around. We're all learning, which I think everybody should know. Everybody does know. They just, the negative effects of stress, which is why the camping came at such an opportune time, and I took advantage of it even though I had been working. Dad seems to be doing better, but we just went and visited him. He's in the rehab center now. They've stopped the bleeding and saying that they're going to put him, they've got him back together, but went there, and his legs look like, you know, the Ethiopian starving kid's legs. They're like the knee, the ball joint, the bone of the knee is thicker than the calf. It looks, it's just horrible. And one leg is swollen. Of course, that's due to the surgery. And his arms are where you can actually see the two bones, you know, in the forearm. And he's gaunt and he's white and he's pale. You know, so I know they're saying he's getting better, but we got a long way to go for that to be better. Getting better and better are not the same thing. So, well, I did end up taking surfboards down to the beach, and my kids haven't never, my oldest did for a while, enjoyed some surfing, but, you know, he found girls and he found other things to, that were more important to him. My other kids have just never taken to it, you know, just, it could just care less. You know, it's just, that's dad's thing, not their thing, and so they didn't, I've never taken up the surfing, although I bought them wetsuits and surfboards and tried to get them into it. They just didn't jump at it, and I'm hoping that it's, wasn't me that I pushed them into something that they didn't want to do, so I left it alone. Didn't fret over it. Well, I ended up taking my surfboards down to the beach, and just once I realized that they could stand up in the whitewash, they literally, you know, made surfers out of them. I went down there and basically didn't tell him how to do anything. I just sort of pushed him into the wave when it was pump off, water heater off. So the camping trip turned out to have some real side effects that I realized I enjoyed watching and helping my kids surf as much as surfing myself, if not more so, as odd as that sounds. Man, surprising just how much stuff is packed away in places. I was in there looking at the little valance across the little window we have in the kitchen area, and I got sunglasses and a watch and all sorts of stuff up there. What's this? This is probably my wife's typed up menu. That's what it is. My wife's one for lists. Not only is she, everything's a list for her. Absolutely everything. Simple flashlights. That's something I do is batteries and flashlights die in storage. So I just pull the batteries out. I have a drawer here and I keep flashlights and stuff like that in. I just pull the batteries out when I put the RV away. And the batteries will stay fresher. They may never stay fresh completely, but they are fresher. So, with that in mind, it was just an absolute joyous time camping. I just watched my kids tear up the what little swell they had. Okay, sleeping bag stay. I'm going through each drawer here. Sure that the supplies I have are supposed to be there, and whatever I was running short of, I can make a list here. So my training has been subpar due to the illness. I did pump up the tires on my bike and got some riding in. Not a lot, but I did spend some time formulating a plan to go beyond just marathon training in case this, you know, to keep out there. I've also been reading a book. It's called Younger Next Year. I'm way behind in my listening to podcasts. I listen to them, but I am months behind. And I was listening to Chris Russell's Run, Run, Live, and he interviewed the author. And got me thinking, and if you have an opportunity, it's called Younger Next Year, definitely check into it. The premise is that exercise being one of the main ways to send signals to your body to rejuvenate, I guess would be a good word for it, to not... I'm out of insulin, wonderful. Biologically, to repair and rejuvenate your body to be internally younger. You know, age is still going to be there, and a lot of the aging effect will always be there, but a lot of it doesn't have to be. And he's showing that, you know, people can live a young and healthy life similar to a late 40s, early 50 year old, all the way into their 80s by doing a few things that, you know, it almost seems like we all know it. It's not like rocket science. And that's what's got me thrilled. It's, you know, that's not the bovine injections or eating shark cartilage or grapefruit diet or, you know, you have to cut carbs out or cut protein out or only eat watermelon or grapefruit or whatever. You know, it's a simple fact of exercise, but it's there's a specificness to it that, you know, as a runner, I didn't want to hear. But it is what it is, you know. They were very well explained that running is just fine, but it's not the end-all to beat-all. and you need to put weight training, which, like I said, we all know, but we don't want to do. You have to just add more than just a few. It's got to be like six days a week, period, you know. And there were some cold, hard facts. He's written this with a doctor that this is sort of new age research. And some of it may not be right. And he specifically says, you know, I may have this slightly wrong, but the premise to the whole idea is not. It can't be. It's very right. You know, and it comes down to don't put crap in your body and exercise a lot. But sounds like a lot, but it really doesn't. You know, anybody who's ever exercised, or especially people I frequent, you know, I've run marathons, ultra marathons, triathlons, Ironman. I know that the amount of exercise he's talking about, you know, especially based on Ironman, is nothing. But it is more than 99% of the people do. And so we all have to, except for the exercise freaks, we all have to step up. And so I made a plan, and I've spent some time planning and was able to kind of put my plan into action with more cycling. And also have a plan next week. I'm going to start that 100 push-up challenge. I got a start date, and I ended up doing a test, and I was really mortified at my test results. You know, if anybody, you know, the 100 push-up challenge, you sit down, you do a test first, and you do as many push-ups as you can, and non-stop, you can't stop. And based on that, the program, there are several programs, and the program is selected, and the frequency and amount is created for you, that within 6 weeks you can do 100 continuous push-ups. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, 20, 30, you know, I was in the Army and I used to knock out 100, no problem. So 20 or 30, no problem. Wow. 12 was a shocker. That's bad. Especially since I work construction and I do a lot of lifting, a lot of very heavy lifting, you know, enough obviously to give me a hernia. Wow, 12. Probably because not just my arms are strong, but my body weighs a lot. So that's going to get into that as well. So that's been my last 2 weeks, is some failures, some successes, some planning. A book that I think you should read. I might throw that into the mix on my podcast now, what's happening, as well as what I'm reading. You know, some of the stuff I've pulled off is just, you know, phenomenal, and I won't hold punches back. You know, I've already told you what I think of, you know, some of the training aids and some of the nutrition aids that I use and what I think of them. You know, most of them have been effective, but I won't hold punches back. It's not like anybody's paying me to do this. I have no sponsors and no payment. You know, hell, everybody wants money from me, not the other way around. So that's in a nutshell. Well, let's call it at that. And you know, I've got to start another book, and I'll leave that for the next show. Again, thank you for listening. From Running from Diabetes, my audio journal of my life as I deal with diabetes and other complications as I train for endurance sports. Oh, you found another hula hoop. Hi. So let's see you do it. That would be fun, huh? I am out with my granddaughter, Lillian, and she's found the girl's hula hoops. So she's got it around her, but she's spinning around herself. Not the hula hoop. She's got the hula hoop around her, but she's doing circles. Come on. Well, let's put the hula hoop down. We'll come back to it. That looks like lots of fun, but I'll help you. Oh, okay. Bring the hula hoop with you. Come on. We're out to water the garden. Uh-oh, where did my sprayer go? There we go. And what better person to water a garden with than your granddaughter? Lillian. But you can't take the hula hoop inside.
You want me to carry you? Come on, let's. Oh yeah! So big. Okay, turn the water on low, because we're gonna. The grass and everything gets watered automatically. I got the sprinklers all set up for that. But my herb garden here has gone a couple days without some water. And we have to do water this, but we have to water it light because some of the herb plants are tender. They're not very strong. Some of them are very young. Now, that's one of my basil plants. He's really healthy. So we'll water the basil plants. I use these a lot. Yeah? The leaves. See, and smell this leaf. Ooh. We have to clip the flowers off. If you don't clip the flowers off, then they go into pollination stage and they won't grow their leaves anymore. And the leaves are the edible part that they enjoy. Since I only have one hand of water, I'll come back to that. Now, let's see. Here we have, this is flat leaf parsley or Italian parsley. I like the texture and the flavor of this better than regular parsley. And this is a close brother. This is cilantro. So we water the cilantro. Ooh, thank you. Nice. That was really nice of you. Thank you. And then we have, this is sage. And I have golden sage. And I have, oh, I forget what this one's called. I did put a label on it. It's just overgrown it. This one is called tricolor sage. Obvious. Let me get that here. I'll make sure that the sage gets good and collected. Now, down here, this is rosemary. I use this a lot too. Now, rosemary, it looks like there's a weed in there. And over here, inside that little crack there, there's a black widow that lives there, and I have been unable to get them out. But every time I come out here, there's new webbing, so she's still in there, which is the reason that I don't let you down this side of the house. Okay. Go up a little higher here. What else we got here? This is dill. So we'll hit on these are real healthy and bushy, huh? You look like ferns. What are you doing? No. Don't pull on that. Oh, and I actually have a little bit of thyme, baby thyme, just rolling in right there. So we'll just give them a little spritz. Because we have the big thyme plants over here. So there's thyme. Water the thyme. Then water the chives. These are all chives. There's one really healthy one. These are all growers, the babies, but they're growing. Ooh, look at all that. There's a bunch of chives there. Wow, a bunch of new chives. Look at that. Oh, this is oregano. Oregano, oregano, oregano. Doesn't that look fun? And these babies right here, well, don't pull on the tomatoes. Those are tarragon. And this little plant here, he's unhappy. He's pretty unhappy. That's tarragon too. Now this beautiful guy, this is mint. Mint. Mint is one of your grandma's favorites. Now we'll step away from the herbs and we have my little bush tomatoes here. This guy's, they're brand new to us. I planted them at the beginning of, it's the end of fall, beginning of summer, probably beginning of summer more likely. And I'm going to switch hands with you because you are so heavy. And they have been just giving us these wonderful tasting tomatoes. Wonderful. See, there's a whole bunch of green ones on there, and there's a couple of orange ones starting to ripen up. Now, this is California Wonder Pepper, and I'm assuming it's like, kind of like a bell pepper. These are my sweet banana peppers. These are my Anaheims and my Poblanos. They already gave us their fruit this year. Oh, thank you. Another hug. Oh, that was awful nice of you. And I think that tomato in a day or two will pull that tomato off. And here is the wonder. I planted this last year. He died right off right away. But this summer, he came back from it with a fury. So I moved him into a bigger pot. And this is eggplant. And if you look, I got a couple of big purple eggplants down there. Aren't they beautiful, huh? We'll make sure he gets lots of water, huh? Then, of course, I started some pots over here. This is one of my favorites. This is collards. All these are baby collard plants. Since we're at the end of summer, I'm not going to plant anymore. But next summer, I'll pull some more pots out. I'm going to go after some lettuces and things. This is a, it's retracting for the winter, I think. But this is a pomegranate shrub. It actually grows pomegranates. Ow, don't pull on my hair. Yes, and that's just a tree. And that tree actually gets watered from the sprinklers. Which leads me to, let's go over and check on my new plumeria. Now, I happen to like plants, but I like plants that put things out. My wife likes plants that put things out, but she also likes the pretty ones. And being from the Pacific Islands, Philippines, she likes tropical plants. And this plumeria was given to us by my brother. Look at the big spider on that one. And we planted him. He's growing like a weed. Speaking of weeds. I don't know what that is. Sure isn't part of the plumeria. So we better check on that. Okay. You weigh a ton, woman. Yes, you do. Well, are you gonna? Oh no. I promised we would do the hula hoop. We'll come back and do the hula hoop now that we're. Come on, let's bring it over here. Sounds like your dad's listening to your cartoons. He probably just hasn't turned them off yet. There you go. Show me how you do a hula hoop, because I certainly can't. Where's the other one? Oh. Now, you know, Grandpa can't do this. Yes! You wiggle your hips like that. And the hula hoop's supposed to go around. Show me your wiggle your hips again. Yeah, I'll step back a little bit because I'm not sure where this is going to go. Nope, that didn't work. Oh, that didn't work. Oh, honey's. Who's at the door? Is that your buddy? Huh? Who is that? Oh, you better. Honey doesn't know he's okay yet. Oh, I guess she does. Okay. So we'll
head over here and
fire for backup sprinklers. Yeah, we gotta stay away from the jacuzzi. The top I have on the jacuzzi. Hands? What do you mean, eh? The sprinklers are gonna go off? Sprinklers. Oh. Yeah, the cover to the spa is a little. Ooh. Oh. Give me that thing out of your mouth. You can talk to me now. Wait, where are you going? It's gonna squirt you in the face. What's your back? Oh, your little red locks. Okay. Well, don't play with your hair. It's okay. It's just water, see? Oh, are we gonna? Come on. We'll give you a bath, but let's don't do a bath on the sprinklers. It's squirting you. Look. Oh my goodness, I didn't even notice that we have limes. Time to get the coronas out. Let's walk around the spa, not over it. Look! Limes! Oh my! Lots and lots of them. We're in lime heaven! We can make some lime stuff. Lots of stuff to do with limes. In particular, margaritas. Fresh squeezed lime margarita. And then we have... Well, that's Grandpa's surfboard. Let's not go there. You just think this is a stage and you're going to dance up there, aren't you? That's the sprinklers. Okay, I guess we can walk around the spa. Thank you! Oh, water is right. Can we say bye-bye to the backyard? Let's go bye-bye. Let's go back inside. Oh, don't get all wet in the sprinklers. Okay, run from me. Bye-bye! Say bye-bye!